A playlist original.
Hey, what's up? It's your host, Tori, and who is ready to be petty? Welcome back to another episode of RTBB. I am so glad you're here, and we're back with another episode. I know the last two were previously recorded because I was on vacation, but I'm back with a vengeance, back with a slight cold. You can probably hear that in my voice. And I'm actually off to on another trip, off to Banff tomorrow to meet up with some friends from Australia. Shout out to them if you're listening. I am so freaking excited. I've actually never been to Banff, even though I'm a BC girly, born and raised. And I will be recording some things on the road, but I'm just excited to see, you know, this little piece of Alberta. And then we're going to road trip back through BC, back to where I live in Victoria. So that's going to be super, super fun. I'll probably make some TikTok. So follow me there at RTBB Podcast. Over on the Patreon, this week I did an episode with Molly and Denise from Gossip That's Good For You. We did a round of casting almosts. So we imagined what it would be like if Angelina Jolie or Reese Witherspoon got the role of Cher from Clueless over Alicia Silverstone, etc. There's so many people that were up for some really iconic roles in like Titanic, Mean Girls, La La Land, all of those things, Twilight. And we dived in to see, you know, would it be the movie be the same? Would it be different? Would it be better? Could they play the role? Would they bring something different? All of that stuff. It was super, super fun. And then I also released an episode about my trip to New York with the Podcast Collective. So Shannon from Fluently Forward, Cam from What I Will Say, Christy from X Knows All, and I broke down our wild weekend. We talked about our Taylor Day. We talked about our exclusive VIP table at the Box. And just like, you know, what our impressions were of each other and some fun stuff that happened over the weekend. So if you want to check out that, it is very NSFW. Listen with headphones, please and thank you. You can check that out on Patreon, patreon.com/RTBP podcast. Next week, I'm talking with Christy from X Knows All about Heidi and Spencer. We are doing a little bit of a timeline of their relationship, how they both rose to, you know, infamy in the reality TV world and what they're doing since The Hills. And then the week after that, I swear to God, I'm going to talk to Lindsay, my IRL friend, about celebrity brands that you didn't know were celebrity brands. So I'm very, very excited for that. I want to shout out this week's patrons of the week. Shout out to Kim M and Mary Rose. I really, really appreciate you both supporting the podcast. It means so much to me that I can, you know, supplement my income doing something that I really, really love. I feel like I put blood, sweat, and literal tears into this podcast, and I just super appreciate you supporting the work that I do, all of the research, you know, time and effort. I'm manifesting a beautiful week and Q2, honestly, for you both. Mwah. And if you don't need more content because, you know, we're fucking chatty Cathy's over here or can't afford to support the podcast financially, that's totally okay. You can leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That really, really helps the podcast grow. It means so much to me to read comments about, you know, how the show's going or feedback, if I should change anything. And I made it my goal to reach 150 reviews this year. I think I made a goal of 200 reviews. I'm at about 150. And if you don't know what to say in a review, just name your favorite episode, your favorite guest, what you like about the show, and, you know, call it a day. Okay, everybody, let's talk about today's episode. I'm joined by Mo and Christina from the Movies That Raised Us podcast. So much fun. We talk a little bit about the Jenny Han cinematic universe, and that's because I covered the first and second to All the Boys I Loved Before movies over on their podcast. I'm sure next year in February, because they do like a rom-com February, I'll be back for number three. I also am a presenter on their third annual Stardazzle Awards. So that's what we talk about at the beginning. We kind of jump right into it. So I wanted to give a little bit of context for that conversation. Anyways, it's a super fun episode, so I hope you enjoy. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Mo and Christina. I'm back with two very special guests, Mo and Christina from Movies That Raised Us podcast. Are here. Mo and Christina, how are you?
I'm good. Doing
thank
well.
You so much for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Oh my gosh. Thanks for being here. I'm so excited to catch up, especially because there's so much going on in the Jenny Han universe.
So much going on. I actually just rewatched after our recording of To All the Boys 2. I did rewatch The Summer I Turned Pretty. So it is like very fresh. It's top of mind right now.
Okay. I've really been wanting to do a rewatch because, but we don't have the premiere date of the new season.
Not yet. They've just released the poster, but no date as of yet. Yeah. I assume it will be summer, but I don't know.
Yeah. Mo, did you get into that?
I didn't. I need some verification. So like, what is like, is it just like Jenny Han, love her work? Like, do you guys feel emotionally connected to the source material? What's the
I cried okay. when I watched the show. It's basically, it's the same kind of feeling of To All the Boys, where it's that like cozy little teen romance, but this time it's like on the beach. Ooh. It's very like Cape Cod coded New England
vibes. I love New England.
There's two brothers. There's a love triangle with two brothers. So it's just like all the scrumptious little drama that you love in any sort of teen show.
Okay. You're drawing me in. I think once Succession ends, I'll be able to devote time.
You'll make a hard pivot to the summer I turn into.
I love like a nice rom-com, teenage rom-com. Now I'm like, your father's dead. You killed someone. I'm going to spread rumors about you.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Fuck off.
There's been like a little bit of drums though, because Minnie Mills, who played Shayla on season one, isn't making a return for season two.
Wow.
It's just, it's disappointing because like I enjoyed that little B storyline.
Yeah.
And now they're probably going to like shove him with the best friend. What's her name?
Oh my God. Yeah. Do you think that?
That's my guess. Like, that's what I feel like they were setting up for, because she's going to be there like this summer. So I assume that's probably what they're going to do, which is annoying. But
yeah, that's super annoying.
Yeah.
And what about EXO Kitty? That's come out. Have you two like bit the bullet?
I've seen the trailer. She does look less annoying in this. So that makes me hopeful.
Yeah, she looks way less annoying. I just, like, I don't know if I can commit if, like, the other Covey sisters aren't there.
The other Covey sisters really balance her out in a way that I'm curious. Yeah. I just feel like any show, there are two best friends. Like, I'm sure there are going to be two best friends. Just, like, for some reason, the first one that comes to mind is the show Awkward. And the second show that comes to mind is Never Have I Ever. And it's always going to be a trio, so I'm sure they'll add people to balance her out. I have not seen it yet either.
Yeah.
But like I said, maybe once Succession
ends. The whole conceit of it. Yeah, there you go. The whole conceit of it is that she's like at boarding school. Right. So it's going to be all new people except for the guy who is in the third movie, who's like the reason that she goes there is like to go to school with her boyfriend.
Him in Korea. Yeah. But they didn't do a recast like they did of.
Yeah.
I love how Dr. Covey is like, well, both my daughters are in college. Like, you should just go to boarding school, huh?
Yeah, let me just get rid of the last one. Empty nest for my brand new marriage.
I'm going to get married now. I'm going to remarry this woman. I kind of just want some alone time. Maybe you could go to boarding school.
Oh, my God. I totally forgot that Laura Jean's in New York now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
At good old NYU.
Yeah.
You're experimenting with her sexuality, doing pop. Yeah. What would you do? Poppers. Doing poppers and whippets.
Yeah, I recently rewatched the whole trilogy in one sitting, And I was like posting about it on my story, and somebody responded and was like, oh, Peter, you don't have to worry. Lara Jean went to NYU. She's never going to see another straight man again. Like, you're fine. If anything, she has to worry about him at Stanford.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I still cannot believe that himbo got into Stanford.
Like, he's like, I'm really good at lacrosse. He's
hell of a lacrosse player.
Like, that's just like not true.
Yeah.
So funny. What else have you been covering on your podcast? You're covering Movies That Raised Us. Christine and I were talking about the Hunger Games, which is coming out this week.
That was
We have Hunger Games coming out. So fun. We had the best time recording. But we're actually, so great. We're actually about to wrap up season three. Mm-hmm. So coming soon is our award show, the Star Dazzle Awards. And then we'll have some fun stuff in store for season four. Yeah. I think season four, we talked about this, how we want to kind of like get back to our roots, get back to those like teen rom-coms.
Yeah.
You know, the DComs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Some more Amanda Bynes. Stuff.
Get some more Lindsay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm so
pregnant
excited.
Also, and like, incredible.
Yes, I know. She's really thriving.
I'm
like,
so happy that she's doing okay. Like, just, I don't know why I have such a kinship, but I guess we all do because we saw her movies growing up. I'm just really happy. I want Amanda Bynes to feel better so badly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. I know. Pray for her every single day.
Yeah.
She's such a queen. And I'll be a guest presenter for the third time in a row.
Three for three. Star We're Dazzle so excited to have you back.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I got to heal this voice before I get into presenter mode, literally. Okay, let's dive into our topics for today. Yeah. So we're going to cover the Met Gala, the Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell relationship, Sophia Richie's wedding, and then we're going to touch on Pettyweight Champion of the Week and then This Week in Petty. So the Met Gala was last night. Mm-hmm. In New York at the Met. The theme was Karl Lagerfeld.
Sorry, I'm literally interrupting at the get. I do have a crazy story because my friend, I actually visited my parents this weekend and I was on the train coming back from Connecticut and I get a text from Cameron and he goes, dude, Phoebe Bridgers was just at Ushuaia, which is the restaurant he works at. I don't know if you want to beep that out or not, but.
maybe.
But Phoebe Bridgers came into the restaurant he works at, and I was like, you fucking jerk. Like, because this is the second time that she has come in, and the first time he did not know who she was. And I shook him, and I was like, I love her so much. Like, I love her music. And so he did text me this time, but he said, before I could actually go up and say anything, two real soy jacks like popped up and they're like, I love you so much. So he couldn't even get a word in, but I'm hoping third time's a charm if she ever comes back to New York. But that's probably, that's why she was there, because of the Met Gala.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she looked so good.
She did. Yeah. Her dress was phenomenal.
She looked great. Yeah.
But I couldn't help but like miss Paul Mescal.
I know.
They really said, oh, you're not together anymore. You're not getting an invite.
Literally, literally. It was like one ticket only.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm like, he was just nominated for an Oscar, you guys. Come on. Yeah.
I do think it's an interesting invite because she's a famous musician, but she's not as famous as like Rihanna.
Yeah, that's true. She's been there like a few.
Yeah.
So when you get like a few Mets in a row, but when you get an invite, mostly it's from like fashion houses or companies.
From the designer. That's like, who brings you. So like obviously it all gets approved by Anna, but it's usually the designer that's bringing the celebrity. So that's why, like, the celebrities don't actually pick their looks. Like, they're picked by the designers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them have, like, contracts with different design houses. So they, like, have to wear that specific designer. They don't get a lot of, like, choice in what they wear. So I do feel bad when, like, the individual people get, like, shat on for their looks. Because I'm like, they're probably like contractually obligated to wear this.
Margaret Qualley's little frock. Her little tiny Brandy Melville frock.
I know. And everyone was like, she like just showed up off the street. Like, I felt so bad for her.
But sandals or whatever.
I know, and everyone.
And the hair and makeup was not good either. There was just, there was no saving that one. I mean,
she's gorgeous. The girl is beautiful, but she did look like she was rocking a Brandy Melville frock. Also, Emma Chamberlain, real rough.
Oh, she looked really rough, which really makes me sad because she's my girl. But the blue look that she wore is like, was so tragic because it had that unfinished hemline and it looked like not on purpose.
The fabric looked so thin.
Yeah.
It wasn't good. And the sequined shirt that she had underneath also looked like very Party City.
Yes, it looked like what I would wear to like a dance recital.
It's like, it's one of those things where I would hope that it like looks better in movement, like in person. It certainly did not photograph well. But I think also, especially because she looked so good last year, this was just kind of like a wah-wah for her.
Totally. And it looked a little bit like the Parent Trap, like with the headband. Like, you know when Annie shows up to summer camp?
Yeah. With the tweed looks like that. And the, totally.
Yeah. Her second look was a lot better. It was like in the same vein, but a little bit like different, and it looked a lot better. But I don't know. She's not making any best dress lists.
Yeah.
Poor gal.
Yeah.
Was there any other like standout outfits for you two?
One of my faves, and you already know she's been killing it for the past year with all of her red carpet looks. Miss Anne Hathaway pulled it out once again.
Oh my God.
In an incredible Donatella Versace dress. I love the interpretation of like using all these Chanel elements that still felt like very Versace. I thought it was perfect. The huge beehive like hairdo that she had, stunning. She's just been like killing it in every single public appearance for the past like year and a half.
Definitely.
So
yeah.
Incredible.
I thought that dress was incredible. She also has like the movie Eileen coming out soon, which I read that book. It's one of my favorite books I've ever read.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's by Otessa Moshfegh. She also wrote My Year of Rest and Relaxation.
I should read it before I watch it.
Highly recommend. But yeah, she looked incredible, and I thought that was one of the classiest Versace dresses I had seen at the Met Gala.
I know, because they're usually really like over the top.
Over the top for sure.
Yeah, like Italian gaudy, like
which is cool. Like, I loved Cardi B's dress last year with, like, all the metal. Good. But it was totally a different, like, such a different look than this one.
I liked Cardi B's look, but I felt like some of the, like, Carl homages were, like, a little bit too on the nose. Like, this was, like, the gray hair, the white button down, the black tie. And I was like, I don't know. Yeah. Did we love that look? Like,
yeah, I think like the theme this year, I mean, like obviously there's a lot of controversy around like Karl Lagerfeld himself as a person. He has had a lot of transgressions and like very unsavory, to say the least, things that he's said. And on top of that, there's also just been a lot of designers who have passed away in the past few years that I think just like limiting it to one like kind of in memoriam designer theme made the look suffer. I think it would have been smarter if they maybe did like a just like an in memoriam to any like designer who has passed. I think would have been a lot cooler, especially because like Vivienne Westwood passed away, and a Vivienne Westwood like theme honestly would have been incredible.
That would have been cooler. But
I think people either went too literal with the theme and being like, I'm going to dress like him, or they're going to wear an archived look, and then it just kind of felt a little bit flat overall.
Totally. Yeah, because there was like so much black and white because that's what he wore. And it's funny because it looked a lot more red carpet than like Met Ball. Like a lot of the dresses you could have worn to like the Oscars or something like that. Like,
yeah,
where I like when it's like really costumey because this is like, yeah, like one of the only times that you can like go really costumey. But yeah, I did like some of the archived Chanel looks. Like I really liked Dua Lipa's. She wore like the Chanel wedding dress, but she wore her hair down.
Nobody wore the hats. That was my biggest
issue.
She
didn't wear the fucking hat. And I was like, Kate, like you look gorgeous. You look like a Barbie. Like you look beautiful. But like the hat is what makes it like fashion. And wearing your hair down with just like a simple necklace is so boring. Something that I would do. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not the celebrity. Like, I don't know. I just wish she like went all out. That was like such a miss. I felt
And even if not, if you don't want to do the hat, I mean, I think it's a mistake, but whatever. At least do an updo or do your hair in like homage to the hat. Do like rip something to tie it all together. Because just having it down didn't work for me.
So many people, I feel like, are against putting their hair up on the red carpet when it is the move, like, 99% of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like a lot of the references, instead of it being like, oh, with Anne Hathaway's dress, like, we're going to use elements of Chanel that were irrelevant to when he was, you know, the designer for Chanel. Instead, people were like, I'm going to, like, mimic and caricaturize his image and then fucking dress like his cat, which honestly Doja Cat like did something cool with, but Jared Leto was like kind of freaky, but that's his thing, I guess, whatever, like he's always super weird, but it was interesting that that was the interpretation, to do like a caricature version of the designer. And I thought that Cara Delevingne, since she was so close with him, was gonna do something incredible, and her outfit was so bland.
Okay, because like everyone was talking about her coming to the Met Gala because again she was like the last muse of Karl Lagerfeld, and then she like literally wore like, it was like a button-up t-shirt dress and like workout leggings on the bottom. Like, so bad. And then she dyed her hair gray. So many people dyed their hair gray. Right. Like, Phoebe Bridgers. But I'm like, sometimes she just has, like, she
already did.
Does that. Yeah. But, like, so many people dyed their hair gray. And I, like, I don't know. I'm just, like, not super into that look. But I didn't even, like, she came and went. And I didn't even notice. It was really upsetting. Yeah.
Especially because, like, her Oscar dress was really good just a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And that was, like, more of a moment than this. This look, so
I know she was she's on the up and up because she was having like a rough couple years and then I really feel like this was like kind of like a sad flop. Another muse of Chanel, Kristen Stewart. I think she looked great, but I've been seeing mixed reviews on look.
I really liked it, especially because she's been in this Chanel contract for so long, and they often put her in stuff that just, you know, doesn't really vibe with her personality.
Totally.
It just like doesn't make sense. So I do like that she did get to do more of like a masculine look. The hair was messy in a way that felt intentional. Like, I like the slouchiness of it. I thought the shoes were really cool too. So I think it was a great choice for her, and she pulled it off really well.
Me too. I also really liked the people that went in color, like Viola Davis and Salma Hayek. And Taika Waititi and Rita Ora looked so good.
Really good, yeah. I will say the men were like a little bit more creative this year than I feel like they have been sometimes, which is funny because this is one of like the least creative themes, but, you know, go off, I guess.
Yeah, I saw a tweet. I can't remember who it was about, but it was a guy holding a fan, but otherwise he was just in like a normal tux. And someone like tweeted like he really thought he was gonna escape the like most boring list with that fan. Like, it was so fucking funny.
I actually really liked A$AP Rocky's, what's it called, a kilt. I thought that was cool. I just like when guys don't wear a tux. I mean, even Pedro Pascal. Yeah, he had shorts on, and I was like, and a long jacket. I was like, give me a little something, like, just don't wear the long pants and the long, like, regular suit.
Yeah. I feel like if you're going to wear a tux, then you have to do it like Bad Bunny, where he had that, like, giant kind of flower shawl and then the backless tux, I thought looked really cool.
He looked so good, but he's
been hanging Kendall out with up. Kendall.
I know. He's been hanging out with Kendall, and I was like, you look so good, and she looked so bad. Like,
yeah. I get what she was going for, but it was, again, just kind of a wah-wah. The Kar Jenners didn't really pull it out like they normally do this year.
Truly. Yeah. Everyone's saying that Kendall's outfit looked like the You Got Chris'd, like, TikTok meme. And I was like, yes. And then people are saying that Kim's looked like her you're doing amazing, sweetie, Playboy cover spread.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I actually think like that was on purpose. Like I think that was like self-referential.
So. Well, I think that the pearls were definitely referential to that.
Yeah. And also a big motif for Chanel. I think she was she Schiaparelli?
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
that was, she was. Yeah. And like it makes sense with that design house. Like it's all very like structural and, you know, kind of architectural. So,
yeah. You know. There was some other like notable moments, like Pete and Kim were photographed. Yeah. Talking. What do you think they were talking about?
I wish I knew, but she looked annoyed in the photo at least.
I felt like she looked annoyed, but it was like, you know, when you're trying so hard to like, I don't know, just be the better person in that situation because you're like, I have to be like, I'm doing like so well and you're like not. Mm-hmm. I felt like, I don't know, just like she knew all eyes were on her and she was like using her hands a lot.
Right.
Yeah. But her face looked like pinched. Like it was like
uncomfortable.
So crazy. You mentioned Doja Cat referencing Chopette. Mm-hmm. Karl Lagerfeld's cat, but she the whole runway just meowed like she didn't answer any questions. It was so fucking funny.
I love the commitment to a bit. Like Doja Cat will always go the extra mile.
Yeah, it was like iconic. Chloe Fineman was also one of the
I need to watch this moment. I haven't seen this moment.
Yes, but like honestly, like I don't want you to because it's so like viscerally cringy that like it's actually painful.
I was watching the stream and I was just like, make this end, somebody make this end. Oh, cut to the other person.
Like if I was Chloe Fineman, I would literally be like, okay, I like I have to go, like I can't I can't stay here any longer.
Okay, I'm watching it. I'm watching it. That's uncomfortable.
yeah So it started when Chloe called Aubrey Plaza Audrey, and then she was like laughing, and Stella McCartney, the designer, was like, are you gonna take this seriously? And she's like, I am taking it seriously. And then like it was just so bad. I just like don't know what red carpets are doing nowadays, because I feel like I feel like most people I talk to, that's the only part of like award shows, etc., that they're that they are excited about. And then they've been putting all of these kind of randos, like they had Ashley Graham doing one at the Oscars, I think, and she like didn't do super well. And then Chloe Fineman, and like I love Emma Chamberlain. I think she has a lot of viral moments, which is good. She brings in a younger audience. I feel like she has really good rapport with everybody. But like even her, I was like, okay, you're asking like the exact same question. Like you just – you're not that educated in fashion or celebrities, or like you can't ad lib.
Yeah.
Like you kind of need to if you're going to be like, I don't know.
What
like
happened to Juliana Rancic?
Literally. Like, where's Ryan Seacrest? Like,
it sucks. I like want to go back to the days where Joan Rivers would watch the Met Gala the next day and she'd be roasting everyone. Like, I know it was so toxic, but I'm like, where's the old E? Like, I need my Juliana Rancic back. Because although I think that there just has been a demolishing of pop culture reporters, I guess you could say. Like there's reporters who are journalists, and then there are people online who are tweeting or influencers. And there's no one there anymore because the information is so widely spread so quickly. So like that's not a needed position anymore. But then you have like situations like this where like no actual reasonable journalist, maybe someone who studied fashion could do this, but most people who are actually studying fashion aren't also well versed in like broadcast journalism, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Like hosting and interviewing is a very real skill that is not just transferable from, you know, being comfortable on camera. Like Chloe Fineman is on SNL. You would think she would be quick on her feet, but clearly she's just not meant for hosting, and that's fine because not everybody is. So we need to get back to investing in people who are actually good hosts. I mean, like,
I think that's
we saw what happened with the Love is Blind finale, and what happens when people don't know how to host properly.
Wait, who hosted the finale? Totally.
the Lachey's.
Vanessa Lachey. Okay. And it just, like, they can't ad lib. Mm-hmm. You're right. Like, they're comfortable on camera, but, like, to an extent. Like, yeah. Yeah, it just, it doesn't work. Like, yeah, you need, like, an Andy Cohen for that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And for this, like, yeah, it just got, I don't know, really repetitive, or the conversation got dull. And I really liked Kiki Palmer. That one.
Oh, yeah, she was great.
I love Kiki Palmer. Let her do whatever she wants.
Yeah, but then, I know, but then she's, like, walking the red carpet, which is obviously, like, seems more prestigious. Yeah. So I'm like, we can't, like, pull you off the carpet.
Yeah, because Vanessa Hudgens is someone who's also, like, actually a pretty good host and interview, but she also was walking the carpet. So
what are you going to do? Some other moments, Olivia Wilde and Margaret Zhang showed up in the same dress in a different color.
I saw that.
Yeah.
We all know who wore it better.
Literally. It's so funny how, like, this happens on this night, though, because I'm like, doesn't Anna approve that these looks?
She does.
Like, yeah. So do you think that was, like, on purpose? She was like, fuck Olivia Wilde.
She's the best heavyweight champion of the week.
I literally think so, because I'm like, she also is like, I'm going to have my friend be the theme, not like Vivian Westwood, who had really cool outfits and who, like, was kind of alt. Like, I'm going to have my friend be the theme. And she aligns herself with people who are controversial on a daily basis. Like,
Totally. Yeah. Do you think people, like, this is the thing that I've been thinking about too, is, like, do you think people should have boycotted?
Nah.
I don't know.
I just
don't know where I lie on that, because I don't feel like I know enough about all of it.
Yeah.
But I know that there were some people that were protesting outside, and I know that there's also been some, like, whispers of people being like, oh yeah, people who wore pink or, like, wore things that Kara would hate are actually, like, secretly protesting. I'm like, no, they're not. They're at the event. They're not protesting it.
Right.
Like, unless they say that themselves, let's not create a narrative that gives some people more credit than they deserve. You know?
Totally. Because people were saying that about Blake Lively. They're like, that's why she didn't come. She was protesting. I was like,
doubtful.
Guys, she got married at a plantation.
Literally that.
Like,
yeah.
Like, let's be real for 2 fucking seconds. Like, yeah. I don't know. I just, like, I wouldn't go. Like, I just wouldn't go. But, like, I did an episode on Patreon about fashion houses when the Balenciaga scandal came out.
Yeah.
And obviously Karl Lagerfeld and Coco Chanel were heavily featured in the Chanel portion of the episode. And I'm like, he's such a piece of shit that I just, like, wouldn't go. But then it's like, it is, like, the celebrity's, like, biggest night. Like, I don't know. I'm such a flake. I need to stick to my guns. But yeah, I don't think anyone was, like, protesting anything.
No.
Carly Kloss and Serena Williams revealed that they were pregnant.
Yeah. I would be so pissed if I was like, oh, wow, I'm going to do a big thing where I reveal that I'm pregnant at the Met Gala, and then somebody else did it.
Yeah. Like, literally same. I really liked Carly Kloss's look, though.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. Are we like, over a big pregnancy announcement, though? Like, how do we feel about those? Like, just tell us. Like, who cares? Yeah. Like, you're a celebrity. You're already famous. You already have the attention. Like,
yeah.
I just feel like, unless you've, like, been in hiding for, like, months and then you're like, surprise, I had a baby, I don't really care. Like, it's just like, oh, now you're pregnant. Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. But if you've been, like, it's, you know, like when Kylie did the whole thing where she was shrouded in mystery for so long and then she was like, and now I have had a baby. At least that's, like, I don't know. It feels more intentional.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, like, would be so devastated if you're right. Like, not every headline was about me if I did this big reveal. And, like, everyone's talking about Jared Leto's fucking cat costume. And you're just like, okay, I'm, like, creating life. Like, yeah. So, yeah, it is risky. I don't know. I just think, like, Beyonce did it.
Yeah.
Best, like, Rihanna, Kiki Palmer. Like, I don't know. I don't know if you can beat those announcements.
Kiki Palmer. Yeah. I know it ain't the Stallion. Like, I think about that every day.
Me too.
Yeah.
Like, literally every day.
The thing is, Kiki has such a great knack for being conversational, for being a good interviewer, and for being really funny but respectful. Like, the balance she strikes is just immaculate. So,
yeah, she never punches down, ever.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. She has the charisma of, like, like, she reminds me of the Lindsay Lohans, the Amanda Bynes, like, the old school girls that we, like, loved. Like, she just has that charisma.
I would argue that True Jackson VP was the last good Nickelodeon show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. The, oh, I loved that show so much.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Okay, let's chat about Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell.
My oh my.
Yeah, this is like, I feel like a fucking disaster. So I had never heard of Glenn Powell, to be honest.
Did you not watch Top Gun?
Okay, everyone's saying like, oh, Top Gun Maverick, this shirtless scene or something like that. But like, yeah, okay. But like, I didn't like know the actor's name.
Well, what I was going to say is, did you not watch Scream Queens or Set It Up on Netflix? Because that's my frame of reference for Mr. Powell is Scream Queens was my first exposure.
That's so funny. Of course. Yeah. No, that's so random. No, I love that. Yeah, I just like, I don't know. He just seems like any other fucking white man in Hollywood. So I just like didn't give a fuck. And then like about him. And then he started filming this rom-com called Anyone But You with Sydney Sweeney in Australia. And I don't know, rumors started swirling because of their body language and chemistry off screen and on screen, because we got some like BTS like boat pictures that they were hooking up and having an illicit affair. Do you think there's any validity in this, or do you think it's like the Lady Gaga, Bradley Cooper, A Star Is Born type of situation?
I go back and forth on it.
Yeah,
like I think, like, you, there's like the whole quote where it's like, oh, you know, a rom-com is going to be good if there's cheating allegations, a la, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, all of that. And especially in the wake of the way that Reese Witherspoon and Ashton Kutcher got absolutely clowned on for all of their red carpet photos promoting their movie, where it's like, what happened to chemistry in movies? So I do think that like part of it was being played up for PR, and I didn't really buy into it until like their relationships started to kind of fall apart on the side.
Yeah, that's true. So we had Gigi Paris, who is Glenn Powell's long-term girlfriend, unfollow Sydney Sweeney on Instagram and then announce their breakup. So like that timing is bad, like really bad. And then Sydney Sweeney is engaged to a man who's 12 years older than her, and they hadn't been seen together for a really long time. And then they were out in like in New York, I think ahead of the Met Gala or something like that. Yeah. And everyone's like, oh my God, this is like, they're just trying to make it work and like cover up like what happened, or they're in denial or whatever. So who knows? But I don't know. I kind of think it's true. Like I don't know if it's because of the interviews or the unfollowing, but like, They were in Australia, like really far away from home. I feel like they kind of just were like, okay, it's like 3 months of filming. We'll just like, you know, like hook up on set, and then like we won't bring it home. And then like, I don't know, someone leaked or someone caught feelings or something like that.
Yeah, I have no idea. I read a couple articles that were like, they just wrapped filming. Like it would be too far ahead of time for them to try to spark any rumors. Like, it wouldn't carry over to when the movie actually gets released. And then I also read another article, but like from The Sun. Like, I'm not reading like fucking New York Times articles, but there was like a psychiatrist or like a body language specialist, something like that.
I love body language experts.
But yeah, like body language expert. And it's like Sydney's like gazing into his eyes, but he's really not returning the gaze, and she's leaning in, but he isn't leaning into her. And I looked at the pictures and I was kind of just like, I mean, she seems obsessed with him. She has that kind of like goofy 20-year-old look in her eyes. And
yeah,
even the video of her, like, which arguably could have been for filming where she like falls back on his leg. Like, I would just be, even if I liked her, even if we were dating, I'd be like, you're fucking annoying.
I'm dead. Okay, yeah. Now that you're saying this, though, I'm looking at pictures and you're kind of right. It's all her.
Yeah.
Because that video where they're being, where they're doing the interview with a tiny little microphone, she's like,
Gaga,
starry-eyed.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like, I'm looking at all of these pictures and it's all her like leaning in and stuff like that. And he's just like straight, straight to the cam.
Yeah.
No, that's and so there's, sad.
There's so many pictures from when they were in Australia, because basically while they were there, like the tourism board of Australia was like, do whatever the fuck you want. We'll pay for it. Like, fucking have a ball. So there's so many pictures of them just doing various things in Australia, and it looks right. like a couple's trip. Like, it looks like they're next to each other in every single photo, even in like group photos. They're always next to each other at the wrap party. There's so many pictures of them in a photo booth with other people. Like, it's a weird amount of photos. And I know, like, I don't consider myself like a super jealous person, but if like my boyfriend was acting that way with a coworker, I would be like, hey, what's up? Like, this seems weird.
yeah.
You're like, hey, can we just like talk for like 2 seconds about like
what's going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, she's still engaged. Like, she went out with her fiance, which also I'm like,
yeah,
I know she's 25, but they began their relationship in 2018.
Yeah.
That's so rough, dude. Like, mm-hmm. That's really rough.
Like, that's almost clearly illegal. Like,
Yeah. I think that there was a lot of discussion about that when they first, like, got together, got engaged, and then it just kind of, like, died down. But, like, you're so right. Like, she's so young. Like, that is creeper vibes.
Yeah, I didn't even know she was engaged until, like, last week. When all of this kind of started coming up, I had no idea.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Oh my God. I just looked at like 400 pictures.
You're like, no.
Yeah. I'm like, we literally like need to stop the podcast so I can like just continue to look at pictures. Like, oh my God, this is like so dark-sided.
The thing about.
Yeah. But is it. Go ahead.
No, I mean, this is like adjacent. This is a side note, but when did we just like say that now Sydney Sweeney is famous? Like, because she was good at Euphoria and she had a little part in fucking whatever, The White Lotus. Like, there were other actors in that show who did a way better job than she did.
Well, that's the other part of this drama that is so weird, because again, I don't think either Glenn or Sydney are super famous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So why is this fucking everywhere?
I think that she just like got in people's good graces and became like this sexy. I do think she is known for being sexy because of Sydney or because of her character on Euphoria. But it's like the thing about Phoebe Bridgers being invited to the Met Gala. It's like the thing about Phoebe Bridgers being invited to the Met Gala. I love her. I've seen her in concert. Literally have her poster like hanging above me right now. But she and Sydney Sweeney are not famous people. Like Anne Hathaway, Nicole Kidman, who did like a Chanel ad with Karl Lagerfeld, like a short film. People like Cardi B who do fashion events and like wear expensive things with brands all the time. I'm like, that's who I want to see at the Met Gala. Not this girl who's my age, who's engaged to a 49-year-old man. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
Well, I think, well, also those other people that you reference have been in the industry for longer, for sure.
That's true. Yeah.
I will say for myself, I've like kept my eye on Sydney for a while because I first saw her in a show in 2018 called Everything Sucks that had one season on Netflix and it was very good and it got canceled. And that was my first exposure to her. And then in like 2019, I have a friend who's like also an actor. She's very much like in the industry and does stuff. And I remember in 2019, she was like, oh yeah, Sydney Sweeney, everybody's saying that, like, she's going to be the next It Girl. She's going to be cast in, like, everything. And she's going to, like, take off soon. Like, everybody is obsessed with her. So since 2019, I've been, like, keeping my eye on her. And, yeah, she has, like, skyrocketed. And I think the reason that it seems weird that she is, like, so famous for how few projects that she's done so far is I think she's been, like, working in the background for all this time. Like, doing these projects before, like, her recognition really took off in season two of Euphoria because her part was a lot bigger than it was in season one. And now she's getting into the rom-com space. I think she has, like, another movie as well that it's, like, going to be coming out fairly soon. I think.
A show or movie, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, she's been kind of doing stuff in behind the scenes, and then all of a sudden she's going to be everywhere, I think is what I'm expecting.
I think she also became just, like, I do think she's talented. Like, I'm not saying she's no talent, but I do think she became not even in, like, she didn't deserve a type of way, but kind of the apple of a lot of producers or directors' eyes. Like, people wanted to work with her. Like, they took a shining to her.
Yeah.
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 For sure. Because the only Euphoria stars, like, Zendaya wasn't even there last night. Probably.
Yeah.
She's usually there. So I think she was shooting some Dune type of conflict. Yeah. It must have been something like that. But
because Timothy wasn't there either. It was Maude. Right?
No, he wasn't.
Yeah. He wasn't there either. So Maude Apatow and Sydney Sweeney were the only Euphoria people there.
And we know why Maude Apatow was there.
Yeah. For sure. For sure.
In a black dress and a bob, as per usual.
Literally, I was like, this is just her on every red carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you're right, though, because, like, I feel like Alexa, Demi and stuff like that aren't getting the amount of, like, fandom and roles and stuff that Sydney Sweeney is.
Yeah.
She's literally everywhere. But she's also had these, like, kind of, like, mini outrages that I think help in overall popularity. Like, she had the birthday party where a lot of her conservative family members were there, and then she had the quote where she was like, yeah, I bought, like, a $3 million house and, like, was like, had no money or something like that, and everyone was like, well, then, like, don't buy the house. So I feel like she has that, like, like, she has that just, like, like, that little, those little, like, controversies that don't fully cancel you but, like, get everyone talking about you.
Something that's really interesting about her too is that she went to college, like, fully has a bachelor's degree in business, or I don't know if it's a BS or BA, but and I remember reading an interview she had done where she was like, I wanted to go to college because when I read my acting scripts, I want to know exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm like, sure, like, I think that most people would love to know exactly what an acting script, or, like, not a script, a contract was saying. Like, I think everyone would generally like to do that, but, like, not everyone gets to go to college and have a burgeoning career before the age of 25.
Yeah.
Literally. I didn't know she was from Spokane.
The Trump support didn't give that away.
Fucking dead. Ooh. Also, her boyfriend is Jonathan DeVino. They've been together since February 2022. Oh, they got engaged in February 2022. Yeah. They had been dating before that, so.
Her middle name is Bernice. Sydney Bernice Sweeney.
Man, oh man. So yeah, I guess only time will tell what's happening with Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney. But
I mean, no matter what, I was going to be seated in the theater watching the movie. Like, you can't stop me from a fake dating rom-com. I'm there.
I know, I know, I know. Anyone but you, like, that sounds, it's definitely like enemies to lovers. Like,
yeah, well, it's an adaptation of Much Ado About Nothing, the Shakespeare play. So
I'm in.
Like, there you go. Like, rom-coms are back, baby.
Yeah, I will say, like, any, like, rom-com that's based off of a Shakespearean play, like, right up my fucking alley. So
yeah, for sure.
I'm so excited. Okay, someone else in the media that I didn't care about until this past weekend, Sophia Richie. Sophia Richie, daughter of Lionel Richie, got married to Elliot Grange in the south of France. he's 29, she's 24. Mm-hmm. I feel like very also young, yes. like Sydney mm-hmm. Sweeney getting married at 24.
Millie Bobby Brown getting yeah. engaged like, at 19.
Girlies, the Beckham we're past marriage. This. Like we have like jobs and like voting rights and stuff. We don't need to get married.
We can get credit cards now.
Yeah, like suffrage girlies. But like actually though, like so brutal. But mm-hmm. he is the son of like the Universal Music Group CEO. So they are like wealthy. Sure. Mm-hmm. And that's how they met. They're like family friends with Lionel Richie. And their mm-hmm. wedding like popped off again for like not famous people. This was all over the media. And I'm like, yeah. why?
Yeah, I was shocked. Yeah, I had no idea. Like, I didn't even know that she had like a TikTok presence until recently, but apparently she has been like popular on there for a long time, which is I'm just not on that side of TikTok, mm-hmm. I guess. But yeah, so she's been doing like get ready with me's and stuff. So when she had her wedding, it was everywhere. And I think it was also interesting because it's like our first kind of example of a Gen Z wedding because she is so young.
Yeah, oh. Nicola Peltz is shaking though. Yeah,
like, terrifying.
Like literally. Yeah.
Just because yeah. I was like, wow, I yeah. have not seen like a bride this young. And I think that was really evident, especially in her makeup mm-hmm. look, which has like really popped off because it was so like simple, like glowy, clean beauty type of thing.
She just looks mm-hmm. yeah. sun-kissed.
Yeah. And I watched yeah, her. She's
like the oh, Vogue.
Yeah, and she was like, yeah, I just want, like, super simple, like, hair and makeup so I don't look back in 20 years and, like, oh, my God, I'm a glamazon. And I was like, I mean, yeah, you look amazing and you will continue to look amazing when you look back on it in 20 years.
Yeah. I fucking hate when people mm-hmm. Like her, like, oh, I just want the clean beauty look. And it's like, yeah, because you have, like, perfect skin.
$1 million yeah. to yes. spend on skincare and you get facials yes. every
and then, like,
week.
Your hair and your hairline are perfect. Like, you have obviously, like, sculpted that, like, fucking jawline. Like, it's yeah. just, like, of course you want the clean girl.
You get up every morning, you spend an hour with your ice roller because yeah. you don't have a real yeah. job.
Of course you're okay with minimalist makeup. Like, it seems like such a shady comment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was beautiful. She wore...
Yeah.
all Chanel, like the mm-hmm. pre-wedding, the wedding, and then the reception. And then, yeah, she did a lot of Get Ready With Me on TikTok, which I watched a few of them and I was like, she's cute. Yeah. Like, she's fun. And mm-hmm. like, yeah, she seems like she's like good with the camera. But I'm like, she also grew up, I feel like, around cameras. So
yeah,
she's probably used to it.
That's how I found out about this whole thing, because I was just scrolling on TikTok and I got a lot of like natural makeup type of things, like natural makeup, yeah. health food, like exercise stuff, like that's what pops up. So I was like, okay, just some random like what's Alex the blonde Earl? Girl who's like a super influencer. I was like, oh, another Alex Earl Get Ready With Me video, not really realizing who it was. But I really love looks that are just like put on a dab of concealer, I put on this, like it's like you can see the person's yeah. skin through the makeup. And I did find it really endearing. I saw it was a Get Ready With Me like for her going out to dinner mm. the weekend of her wedding or something, so it wasn't even like a real big event, but I did like seeing that. I saw her like little wedding video and I was like, holy shit. It's just a huge, like when you're rich, you just get a huge fucking place. Everyone holes up in it. Everyone hangs out. Like you get a drone to record you yeah. walking down the aisle in your 10-foot long veil. And I think that that's like those points of having something like hyper stylish, like the fashion sense that 20-year-olds have now surpasses exponentially anything that we knew about, because they can see every fashion moment documented before the present day. There's so much access.
That's such a good point. That's a really, really good point. Yeah, everything that she wore just looked so good, and like her mm-hmm. hair. And surprised he wore like sunglasses during the ceremony.
I would kill my husband if he did that.
Like, literally, I was like,
he wore sunglasses during?
Yeah, I don't know if, like, it was on, like, the whole time, but, like, if you look at the pictures, there's, like, sunglasses.
Does he have glaucoma? Like, that's like, the only excuse.
Literally, but no. Yeah, I was just like, wouldn't you want to, like, look into your wife's eyes? I don't know. Yeah. It was kind of weird. They did document a lot pre-wedding, too, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Like, she converted to Judaism, which is, like, I don't know, like, I guess the lead up to the wedding, like, made us more interested in it. I don't know. Cause, like, I was like, I was getting bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is really, like, interesting. So, like, when it actually, like, they did get married, I was like, oh, like, I guess I'll check out all the, like, 900 Vogue videos.
Yeah.
Right.
He surprised her with Steven Sanchez.
Mm-hmm. I saw a clip of him singing and I was like, oh, I never knew that song was Sophia. So that makes so much sense.
No, it isn't, though. The lyrics are Georgia, and he changed them for her. Yes, yes. Yeah. Again, I think that, like, that was a viral TikTok song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before. The Gen Z energy is everywhere.
Is so there. It's so interesting. Good Charlotte performed at the reception because...
Mm-hmm. So cool.
I know, because... Nicole Richie is married to one of the Madden brothers. Her casual
brother-in-law. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just the casual brother who maybe dated Hillary Duff when she was underage.
By maybe, literally. We mean absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, like, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder. For sure. I wonder if Cameron Diaz was there, because she's still with Benji, right?
She was. She was. Yeah. Yeah. She was there with their kid, Radix. Mm. There was no Kardashian sisters there, which.
Yeah.
Sophia, when she was dating Scott Disick, used to hang out with them a lot. But I guess, obviously, they just, like, had a falling out. It was mostly, I feel like, the people, when I say, like, I want to be, like, rich and famous, I want to be this level of rich and famous where you're, like, not really famous. Like, heavy on the rich, like, less on the famous.
Yeah.
Because it was just, like, it girls. Like, it was, like, just rich it girls, like, that probably have, like, the fucking best lives. But they're not, like, have all the trappings of fame.
Yeah,
right. Damn, I do want to be famous and I want to be rich, but heavy on the famous, okay, like, average on the rich. Yeah. Like, isn't that sick? Aren't I ill? I'm so quirky.
That's so fucking funny. And all her clothes, like we mentioned, were Chanel, which I thought was really interesting because the Met Gala was, like, again, mostly an homage to Karl Lagerfeld's work with Chanel. And it seemed like this was also... got a lot of hype because people were looking at it because we're just in a very, like, Chanel heavy week. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, this is a theory. It's a working theory, so I don't know if I've ironed it out all yet, but I think that the reason that she is kind of, like, risen into this, like, it girl moment is I feel there's been an absence in the it girl community since the quote unquote downfall of Hailey Bieber, and I feel that they have very similar aesthetics in terms of hair and makeup, but I think that Sophia is a little bit more accessible and has a little more charisma to her, which is why she's kind of rising at this exponential rate. But I'm still working the kinks out in the theory.
Oh, I actually love that theory. I could totally see that. I think with the Selena Gomez thing, people just got too sick of Hailey Bieber. I could totally see Sophia Richie taking her spot.
Yeah.
Same, like, Nepo baby energy, like, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Married young.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the focus is definitely shifting from, like, mean girl, like, oh, it's so interesting, they all, like, hate this person, to, like, someone who's authentic and transparent and kind. Mm-hmm. Like, people really gravitate towards the kindness because I think from the early 2000s and the late 90s, tabloids, like, that would totally wreck women, in particular teenage girls.
Yeah.
I think there's just, like, a total reversal from that, which is also something I read with the Glenn Powell, Sydney Sweeney thing, where people don't, like, if it is a marketing thing, people don't respond to being suspect anymore. People respond more so to transparency. Mm-hmm. So if they came out and were like, we are dating, like, it was something that happened, we fell in love, like, that would cause more eruption in the media than
than like the
something like speculatory.
Yeah. People don't like being duped.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they'll fucking remember if you dupe them too.
100%. Yeah. No, that makes sense because there's such a culture around like suspicion now with like Dumois and stuff. Like, I think people do really lean into like the transparency.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to Pettyweight Champion of the Week. This is the part of the show where our guests nominate a Pettyweight Champion of the Week, someone in the media who did something petty and it was iconic. Christina, do you want to start? Who are you nominating this week?
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily like petty, but my nominee is Cameron from season one of Love is Blind, who went on his Instagram this week to do a little bit of a, not direct, but a little bit of a clapback at Vanessa Lachey, who, if you've seen the Love is Blind finale, she simply could not stop asking every single couple when they were going to have a baby and when they were going to give her the first Love is Blind baby, which was like extremely inappropriate. And he made a video and posted on Instagram saying, hey, we should all agree as a community to not ask couples when they're going to have a baby. It's highly inappropriate. Like, you don't know if people are having infertility issues behind the scenes. Like, you should just appreciate couples for who they are, which I thought was great and a really cool message, especially coming from a man who, you know, normally they don't talk about this kind of stuff. So that is my nominee for this week.
That's amazing. I feel like Cameron from season one, like, just stays winning.
Oh, yeah. Unproblematic.
Like, truly. Like, literally. Like, the only, like, good couple to come out of the show. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's really great. And, yeah, she, I feel like they can't fire them now. They must be in, like, a fucking ironclad, like, contract with all of the Netflix, like, dating shows. But it's such a bad look. It's such a bad look. And yeah, I wonder if she's getting like reprimanded behind the scenes or like more notes for like if they do anything live again.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Part of me likes some of the chaotic mess like that ensues because of it.
But it was entertaining for sure.
Yeah, but that's such a like easy rule to follow. Like, I feel like that's a rule that we've all learned, but maybe not. Okay, Mo, who are you nominating this week?
I'm going to nominate Anna Wintour.
Petty queen.
Because she's petty and she's a classist and she made up this little event just to like pick who's hot and who's not. And someone should kick her.
Truly.
Down a flight of stairs.
Down the Met Gala flight of stairs like Jason Derulo.
Right onto the Colgate carpet.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. I feel like you're right that we talked about this earlier, her aligning with like problematic people. Where's like her cancellation?
That's the thing. Like, it feels almost like, I don't want to equate her to Harvey Weinstein because he did like unspeakable things, but she did also, you know, make or break people's careers. Yeah. Like, that's definitely within her scope of things she can do. So yeah, I don't know if she'll ever get canceled because she's not outwardly doing things where she's like, I told this person to kill themselves and then they quit. Like, there's nothing that you can really trace back to her except her. She seems like a shitty person.
Yeah, I haven't watched the documentary. I do want to watch it, but because it's the Met Gala week, I've been getting a lot of trailers or teasers from the first Monday in May. Documentary about the Met Gala, and there's a scene where her and like her assistant or whatever are doing the seating chart, and like it's like full names of people on the seating chart, and they're like, oh, this is like a table that we wish we could just like delete, and it's like literal like you can like fully see who's sitting at the table, like they don't care, they just because I guess they just, like, have that much power in the industry. But, like, they just are so rude. Or they're like, yeah, this is definitely, like, the worst table, like, in the, like, area. And then it, like, zooms in.
Who was it?
Honestly, they're not people that, like, I are super familiar with. They're probably in design or something. There was even names that people, she was like, I hope these people just, like, disappear before, like, the event happens or something like that. Like, it's, like, it's fucking scathing.
Yeah. I'm so curious, like, what's going to come out once she does step down from Vogue.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wonder who's going to take over.
I don't know. I'm sure she's grooming someone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And she stepped out with her partner, Bill Nighy.
I had no idea they were together until last night.
Who is he?
He's, did you watch Love Actually?
Yes.
He's Billy
Mack. Oh, my God.
He's also the dad in About Time. He's done, like, tons of stuff, but.
Yeah, now that I, like, see his face, I'm like, oh, yeah. Damn, okay. Okay, Bill Nye. When they first said Bill Nye, I was like, Bill Nye the Science Guy? And then he was like, oh, no,
that's wild hair that would be.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious, yeah.
Okay, let's move on to This Week in Petty. This is the part of the show where our guests share a story about something that happened in real life that they're petty about. What are you petty about this week? Maybe, Mo, let's start with you this time.
I have been thinking about this for so long because I went to a concert on Friday and, like, so I saw 100 Gex. I don't know if anyone's familiar with this band. They're a hyper pop band, like, it's a duo. They're really, like, alternative, like, just, like, not mainstream at all. But they're really popular with Gen Zers. Like, there were a lot of people in the audience who I overheard went to NYU. Like, they were in college. Like, people who – it was an 18-plus event. And people who had bracelets that had, like, XX, like, wow. Can't drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I was there with my boyfriend and our friend Cameron, and, like, we were making our way to the front, as you do. Like, we did manage to get really close, but the fucking Gen Zers would not stop pushing. Like, the whole – I was, like, in a sandwich the entire concert, and I was like, this would never happen in a packed place. Like, it was all general admission, and it would never happen if you were either millennials or fucking boomers. I went to an LCD Sound System concert last year, and it was packed, and people were just hanging out.
Yeah.
Chilling.
Yeah. It's so funny because, like, that I feel like is all over the media all the time about how concerts nowadays, like, people are always, like, pushing and stuff.
Mm-hmm. No. Why more concert etiquette. Yeah. I think because of COVID, yeah. People didn't go to concerts for so long, and then people who are, you know, 18, 20, 21 spent their first taste of adulthood in COVID not going to concerts and just have no wherewithal about etiquette.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point. Someone needs to teach the Gen Zers concert etiquette.
Yeah.
Truly.
But something that was really cute was that they had, like, so many people. It was a lot of nerdy people. Like, I saw a girl come with, like, a thing of Pokemon cards, like, a binder of Pokemon cards.
That's so sweet.
Like, they were all fucking weirdos. Some were, like, had, like, cat makeup on, like, literally, like, painted, like, it looked, like, super out there, but everyone was, like, really comfortable with each other and super, like, gay, and, like, someone, like, held up a picture of a trans flag and everyone was cheering. Then they showed a picture of, like, someone controversial and everyone started booing. And, like, I was like, you guys are so cute. You're so, like, wholesome.
That is very wholesome.
Oh.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine going to a concert that, like, doesn't have seats anymore. Because I would die if someone pushed me. Like,
so
the first push, I'd be like, I'm out. Like, I can't do this anymore. Like, seriously. Mm. Yeah, okay, I'm going to have to check out 100 Gex.
I so wonder if you'll enjoy it at all.
I'll let you know. Okay, Christina, what are you petty about this week?
What I'm petty about, I just found out like a mere 30 minutes ago. But basically, so Niall Horan is in Toronto right now as I Live and Breathe. And he's doing a free concert tomorrow downtown. So my friend and I, like, okay, obviously we're going. And I don't have a job, so I can go early and line up. We were like, okay, it doesn't seem like it's going to be that crazy because it's, like, supposed to rain all day tomorrow and, like, other people have jobs and they can't go and line up all day. And it didn't seem like a lot of people knew about it, but Niall just tweeted about it. So now it's going to be crazy. So we'll see if I actually get to watch the concert. I'm going, like, in the morning and the concert's at 5:45. So we'll see. But right now I'm just like, Niall, why aren't you gatekeeping your concert for me so I can
right,
go?
Right.
Literally.
Kate. Christina, you should go after we finish recording.
Yeah,
they bring said, your tent. They said not to camp out overnight. So I'm hopeful at least that will like minimize the amount
I
of
I love how
that
you like knew that.
Yeah, so I do know that. I'm going in the morning. I'm going at like 10 a.m. and I'm like, honestly, I don't even think that's like early enough, but it's gonna be what's gonna be. So
I believe in you.
Yeah, I really hope you do get in. You'll have to let us know. But like, yeah, why is he doing a free concert? Like, this is, I feel like, sad almost.
Well, he did like a I had the same conversation the other day with a friend who was like, that's like giving your career is ending. I was like, no, actually, yeah, his career is like very much on the incline, and he's like low-key killing it right now because he's a host on the or he's a judge on The Voice and is doing super well with that. So he's getting more like mainstream recognition outside of pre-existing One Direction fans, which is really smart. He's also like invested a lot of time and energy into the TikTok community and embedded himself in a way that when he does promote music on there, it doesn't feel phony, which is exactly what Meghan Trainor did as well. And that really worked for her too. And so another thing, he's also investing in the Canadian market, which most Americans don't do, but there's a huge amount of concert goers in Toronto because this is where every act comes, is here.
Yeah.
And usually they're only Canadian dates. So it's smart to invest in the market with a free show, get people interested. And then when he does come back, people would be more willing to go and he can sell out like Scotiabank or something. But he did also do like a secret.
Christina, you're a marketing mogul.
I was just going to say, like, hire this bitch.
But he did a secret show today as well that you had to like win tickets for, but then tomorrow's show is open to the public, so we'll
see. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
So you think that he wouldn't sell out like a big stadium anymore?
I think it's hard to say because his last album, like that quote unquote era, kind of got cut short because of COVID, so it didn't get as much recognition and mainstream play as his first album did, as Flicker. So I think that they're trying to like set him up to be in the best possible position so that when he does tour, it's less of a guessing game.
Yeah, that's smart. Yeah. It really is, I feel like, a guessing game with him. Like, I feel like him and Harry have had the most like success outside of One Direction, but I feel like he kind of has like a little bit of a cult following.
Yeah, he definitely has more of a niche, whereas Harry has really propelled himself into just like superstardom mainstream.
Yeah.
But Niall hasn't quite got there.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Okay, well, you have to tell us how it goes.
Yes, I'll keep you updated if I get to go. Because I've never been able to see any of them perform in real life. And I've been a Directioner since I was like 16. So
I love this.
We'll see.
What's the location? Like, I feel like
it's at Sugar Beach.
Okay.
So it's not very close to where I live. So I will be commuting like an hour on the train. But I'll make it work.
Worth it. Yeah.
Other people are like flying in for it, so I'm a little bit scared that I won't get in, but we'll see.
Flying.
Oh my God. Like from where?
All over Canada.
That's wild.
Let me fly in. Why not?
Yeah. Come on down. You can crash at my place, but
damn.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I can't wait to see. I hope you get like front row techs.
I hope so.
Or like seats or whatever.
Yeah. I'm bringing tons of snacks and my umbrella because it will be raining. So
bring some like books, some audiobooks. Okay, this was super fun. Thanks to you both for coming on. Can you tell the listeners where they can find you and anything else you want to plug?
So you can find us at Movies That Raised Us on Instagram. You can find us at Movies That Raised Us Pod on TikTok.
Yeah, you can also find us at MTRU_pod on Twitter, or you can always email us at moviesthatraisedus@gmail.com. We do a movie every single week, nostalgic faves, some new classics. So if you're interested, we would love to have you over for a virtual sleepover.
Yes. Oh my God, that is definitely the vibe.
Yes, for sure. Well, thank you so much for having us. It was so great to come on again.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. And there you have it. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you to Mo and Christina for joining me on today's episode. If you want to check me out over on Patreon, you can do that at patreon.com/RTBPpodcast. You can follow along with me on socials at RTBPpodcast. And of course, leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. I hope you are all safe and healthy out there. As always, I'm your host, Tori, and I am ready to be petty. See you soon. Bye.